The seventh aliyah of Parshas Vayetze is the response of Lavan to the questions of Yaakov as to why he's been treated this way, but it's not really much of a response. It's not clear exactly what he is saying, but here his words, Vayan Lavan Vayomer El Yaakov, Habanos Pnosai, Vahabanim Banai, Vahatzon Soni, Vahalasha Ataroe Lihu, Vlivnosai, Maasala Ela Hayom, Olivnehana Sheyoladu. He responds, the daughters are my daughters, the children are my children, the flocks are my flocks, everything you see is mine. And what can I do now about my daughters or their children? So he's not responding to the questions. It's not clear exactly what he is saying. Mefarshim have a whole range of interpretations. Some understand that he was trying to calm Yaakov down. Some see him as being tough with Yaakov. Some understand that he's actually saying that he would kill him if it wasn't for Hashem's commandment not to. So the whole direction here is unclear, but he doesn't seem to be responding. And Rav Volba, in his comments on Chumash, notes that this is the way people are. When there's a contradiction between one's intellect and what one wants to do, we call cognitive dissonance, so they just don't engage and they just talk past it. So he's not actually responding, but then he does something which is the Ksav HaKabbalah identifies is typical of Rishayim, who act hypocritically, and they pretend as if they want to make peace, when really they're the ones causing the problem. And this is something we're certainly all too familiar with, especially now. He's declaring, stop fighting with me, let's have a ceasefire, I want to be peaceful. So let's make a bris, let's make a covenant. As Rav Soloveitchik notes, this is not a real covenant in the sense of shared vision, but simply of non-aggression, a literal ceasefire. But this is, again, the technique makes it look like you're the problem, you're the ones who's been fighting with me, and I just want peace, so why can't we do this? Why can't we settle? So they do, and they set up a monument to this deal, and Lavan calls it Yigar Sadusa, which seems to be Aramaic, and it's a whole discussion whether this is unique in the sense of, is this the only Aramaic term in the Torah, or are there others? But we also find here a reference, as we've seen before, to Pachad Yitzchak, and that is a term which identifies the Midas Hadin that we associate with Yitzchak. And there's a comment that Rav Schwab here has over here, which is tangential, but just worth noting in connection with that idea, that we also have the notion that Gemara says that the time is going to come in the future when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to look for a defender of the Jewish people, and he's going to turn to Avram, and surprisingly, he will not be able to defend the Jewish people. He won't be willing. He'll say that if they've sinned, they need to pay the price. Yaakov will respond in the same way, and it'll be only Yitzchak who will be able to articulate a defense. And that might seem a little surprising. If Yitzchak represents the Midas HaDin, you'd expect him to be the harsh one. And indeed, that's how some are surprised. Yaakov Kamenetsky had an interpretation of that, that this is an example of the avos being tested in the opposite of their midos. But Rav Schwab explains over here, as others have explained in similar fashion, that the midas adin doesn't mean harshness. It means acting as the way things are supposed to be. And the strength of Yitzchak in that story is that he's able to defend the Jewish people on the merits. And that's the best scenario. So that idea that we call this the Midas HaDin is something that we can draw upon as a very positive thing for the Jewish people in the future. And this Pachad Yitzchak is a Midah that we look to. So we also read here a little bit later, Pasuk Nundalad, V'yuzbach Yaakov Zevach Bahar, V'yikru Lechav Lechol Lechem, V'yuch Lech, V'yuch Lechem, V'yalinu Bahar. So he shechts something, and Rashi tells us that the shechita was for eating purposes, for suda. And the Meshech Chachma comments that it's only now that we find shechita for the purposes of eating, for shechita's chulin. Before this, we only find for the korbanos. So there's a discussion about this in the Sefer Eish Tamid of Rabbi Shlomo Sinneman, shechita, where he comments that if we have the tradition that the avos kept the whole Torah before it was given, so it's a question, why is this just showing up now? So as he notes, that we actually find also that the Jews later on don't actually, at least according to the opinion of Rabbi Akiva and the Gemara in Chulin, don't actually use Shechita for Chulin until after they get to Eretz Yisrael, from after Matan Torah until Eretz Yisrael. So too, the Avos didn't do more than that, but Yaakov kept Torah like in Eretz Yisrael, so therefore he brought a higher level to it. And Soloveitchik noted that the particular significance here is that kosher slaughter is a reminder of the importance of limiting the interaction of the Jew with those who don't share their values. And therefore, it's important here because there was this effort, essentially, that Lavan is making to try to confuse things and to try to act as if they're all the same. And a lot of the subtext here is that Yaakov is accepting this covenant of ceasefire, essentially, but not to accept the portrayal that there isn't any difference between their values. In reference to their values, so there's a very interesting discussion in the Sefer Ma'oris Yitzchak, as written by Rav Yitzchak Eideltuck, where he comments on the fact that here at the beginning of Perek Lamed Beis, so the Pasuk says that here Lavan gets up and he kisses them goodbye, and then Lavan leaves, and Yaakov goes on his way. So the idea that they are separating at this point, so it's interesting to reflect upon the history of the families. And there is a whole discussion back in Parshas Chayisara, when Avram tells Eliezer that he should find a shidduch for Yitzchak, and he should go to where his family is from, and not to where they are then, because the people where they are, he doesn't approve of. And it's interesting because it doesn't seem like it's much better where he's sending Eliezer to, because as Rishonim comment, Rabbeinu Bachya and the Ran and his drashos, that his family were Ovdei Avodah Zarah. So why would he think that that would be a better place to look for a shidduch for his son? And they both have a fascinating comment that if we have to choose when looking for a shidduch, if we have to choose what to look for, and your only choices are people who have bad theology, who are idol worshippers, or people who have bad character, so better to go with the idol worshippers, because character comes from the family, and that's already there, and theology can be taught, so you can fix the fact that they're Ovdei Avodah Zarah. So it's a surprising position, and very instructive about the importance of Midos. So that's this comment that the Rishonim have about Avram's instruction. But if you think about it, and you consider the Psukim, so of course it requires a lot more discussion, because it doesn't seem like Avram's family is treats them so well, and it doesn't seem like Psuel and Lavan that there's such wonderful midos among them either. So he has a lengthy discussion over there in Parshas Chayisar, which is very helpful, where he discusses how exactly to explain all of the treatment of Rivka and Eliezer, and how everything there can be understood in a more understandable fashion. But nonetheless, repeated bad behavior has an impact on character. So even if there is some basis of positive character, when one continues to engage in trickery and negative treatment of others, ultimately that is going to corrode the character and there's going to be nothing left. So essentially that's what happens by this point. So whatever there was originally in the family has completely disappeared because of loved ones' behavior. So the Psukim tell us that at this point now, they separate because Yaakov realized, Yaakov halach ledarko, that there isn't anything left at this point for them to hold on to, because whatever brought these families together at one point, whatever basis of midos there once was, that already went back to Avram's recognition, has been completely eroded by the continuous bad behavior. So at this point, there's nothing left to stay for. An important reminder of the importance of the integration of character and behavior and the synergy between the two and the need to maintain them.